It's 10 a.m. East African Standard Time. Welcome to Witness Radio. Today is a Saturday, the 8th of March 2025. A reminder that today is Women's Day. In fact, International Women's Day. It's known worldwide. So happy Women's Day to you all, our dear listeners. Today we are going to discuss about land tribunal roads. But before we do that, I'd like to take you back of what we've been discussing in the last episodes, in our previous episodes. We have so many episodes that we've been airing out. And if you missed any, go to our website or our social media handles. On YouTube, they are always that broadcasted at Witness Radio. We have our website, www.witnessradio.org. If you want to find out any information about Witness Radio, recent information about land disputes, land grabbing, and land evictions, you can definitely go there and read through and get all the information that you deserve to know. If you want to stream live, go on your Play Store, download Witness Radio app, and then you listen in live. Our programs are always at 10 a.m. Yes, 10 a.m. if you want to stream live. In the evening at 5 p.m., that's when the repeat is broadcasted. In our previous episodes, we have looked at so much. We've looked at land tenure systems. We've looked at lawful occupants. We've looked at administrative land bodies. We've looked at land committees and district tribunals, so much. Each episode is detailed with so much information that is very important for you to note down. That will help you not to be caught off guard, just in case land grabbers want to take your land. You always know what to do. I would like to welcome our lawyer, Counsel John Bulierari.
Hi, everyone. Thanks, Rita. Hi, everyone. Hope you're doing good. One thing I have to say is I would love to thank you for staying tuned in to Witness Radio. And thanks to our dear host, Rita, for always being there for us, you know, because without her, you know, this program will not have taken place. And we also thank Witness Radio for the initiative. Thank you.
Point of correction, without you, this wouldn't be possible because we are basically learning about land laws and you are the lawyer.
Thank you, Rita.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'd like to go in for a short break. We shall be back.
In Uganda, land is a valuable resource that is necessary for everyone to survive and flourish. So it is equally crucial to comprehend the land laws and policies about its appropriate usage. To learn more, tune in to Witness Radio.
This is Witness Radio, connecting indigenous and local community voices.
Welcome back from that short break. As I said in our last episode, we talked about land committees and district tribunal, and we saw whatever that is entailed in land committees and district tribunals. We saw the requirements or qualifications for one to be a member of the land committees. If you want to be a member of the district tribunal, yeah, you have to be appointed by the judiciary. And also members appointed in the district land tribunal and their qualifications. And we also talked about the jurisdiction of the district land tribunals. That and more, if you want to still go back for a recap, they're always available on our social media handles. So I'd like to welcome Counsel Joanne to take us through. The floor is yours.
Thanks, everybody. Today we are so much going to focus on the land tribunal procedure rules. We shall be relating to the land tribunal procedure rules. This basically is to cover how when you present your case to court, to the land tribunal, what happens, the procedure you're supposed to follow to actually present your case to the land tribunal, and how they will handle your case, and how they do their work as the land tribunal. We'll start by telling you on how business is conducted in the land tribunal. We'll start with Section 3 of the Land Tribunal Procedure Rules of 2002 that provides for conduct of business of tribunal, where it says the times and places of the hearing of the tribunal and the matters to be disposed of at the hearing shall be determined by the chairperson, except that even if he's the one that determines, they must be in between work. They must be in between working working hours.
Yes,
from 8 to 5 p.m. So they cannot tell you you have court at 6 or 1 or 7. The moment they say that, just know they're up to something. The time and place is decided shall be a reasonable opportunity for all parties to appear before the tribunal with a little inconvenience and expenses as possible. Of course, there must be some expenses you must incur to make sure that the tribunal sits. The notes of the hearing shall be, there's a form that, you know, they give out for notices of hearing so that you get to know when is your case coming up for hearing. Yes. So Section 4 of the Land Tribunal Procedure Rules of 2002, Section 4 provides for composition of the tribunal, and then says the tribunal shall be composed for proceeding by the chairperson and other two members. So, and where a chairperson or any person is unable through health, maybe for health reasons, injury or death or other justifiable causes, to sit at the proceedings of the tribunal before the matter is completed, the proceeding shall be adjourned.
Yeah. Actually, I've heard when the chairperson is not there, maybe she went on a vacation or he went on a vacation, it is also still adjourned.
Yeah, they adjourn it.
Okay.
Yes, until the chairperson comes back, and then probably they can find a way of how to hear the case. Yes. So the chairperson or any member, as the case may be, shall notify the Chief Justice of the inability to sit of the chairperson or a member under this, or a member. So the chairperson must notify the Chief Justice that I am unable to sit, or any other person or a member can actually what? Notify them. And the Chief Justice shall assign a person qualified to be a member of the tribunal to act as a temporary replacement within 21 days. So sometimes the Chief Justice can appoint someone to actually sit in the case, just in case he finds that there have been many adjournments.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and the case is kind of being prolonged. So or probably even the parties that have filed the case, they need immediate, you know, decisions. So to that effect, probably they can actually assign someone to sit in.
These 21 days, it's before or after?
After.
After.
Yes.
Okay.
Or let's say it can also be before. Let's imagine if the chairperson maybe has an accident and has been unconscious, and if they notify the Chief Justice, probably they can make sure they replace someone within their 21 days before the hearing of the matter.
Okay.
Yes.
Before.
So the Chief Justice may designate a resident judge or chief magistrate within or nearest to the tribunal location to carry out the functions of the Chief Justice under this rule. So if the Chief Justice in Uganda can actually appoint another person in, let's say, in Kiryandongo, you get to act as the Chief Justice to make that decision at the tribunal level.
Okay.
Can assign someone to do, you get.
Can assign someone to do his work.
Yes.
In a certain.
Make sure the order, if he gives an order, he makes sure that order is implemented wherever by another person that acts as him there.
Okay. Is that in written or?
It's in written. Definitely everything legal must be written.
Okay, because when he's giving proof, out rights.
Yeah, but he can actually also say on a phone, you get, like, hey, I made such an order and I want you to follow up. So then the other person probably could say, but usually it's oral may not be believed, so usually it's written, you know. So, but he can say, yes, I've been told by the Chief Justice to do so and so. Yes.
Okay.
So the proceedings may be completed or heard afresh by the tribunal as reconstituted. We will also look at Section 5 that provides for this dequalification of members. So it says where a member of a tribunal has an interest in the matter before the tribunal, he or she shall disclose the interest and disqualify himself or herself from the proceeding. Let me give you an example. You you are my sister.
Mm.
And I'm handling that matter. Definitely, I'll be biased. You get, you don't expect me to make sure you don't win that case. I have to make sure you win the case.
Conflict of interest.
Exactly. So in that instance, you find that, you let them know, this is my brother or a friend or my husband, and you don't allow you to actually work on the case.
So they disqualify this person?
Yes, from handling that matter.
Okay.
Yes. So we are party to the tribunal objects to a member sitting on the proceedings on the ground of bias or impartiality, and the tribunal finds reasonable grounds for the objection, the member affected shall be disqualified from the proceedings. Even another person can be a member of the tribunal. The party of the tribunal objects to a member sitting on the proceedings on the grounds of bias or partiality, and the tribunal finds reasonable grounds for the objection, the member affected shall be disqualified from the proceedings. This one can also be made by the party that has brought the case to the tribunal and say, no, that judge, that magistrate, or the chairperson is biased, and they cannot sit on
my case.
Yes. Okay. So even they're saying a fellow member of the tribunal can also say, no, that person cannot sit on that, cannot proceed with the case. So if the tribunal finds it reasonable, finds your grounds reasonable, they'll disqualify you from what? From proceeding. And the chairperson or a member shall notify the resident judge or chief magistrate designated by the chief justice within 7 days after the decision of the tribunal or the withdrawal of the case may be. So, if they're disqualifying someone, they must give notice of 7 days. Notify the resident judge or chief magistrate designated by the chief justice within 7 days after the decision of the tribunal. The tribunal sits down and says, no, this person is disqualified from proceeding, then they need to notify the resident judge or chief magistrate designated by the chief justice within 7 days that there is a decision that has been made and you will not be able to proceed in this matter.
Okay.
Yes. Where a vacant position is created in the tribunal as a result of the withdrawal or disqualification of a member, then the chairperson shall notify the resident judge or chief magistrate designated by the chief justice within 7 days after the decision of the tribunal or the withdrawal of the case may be. And within 14 days after receiving the notification, the designated resident judge or chief magistrate shall appoint a temporary replacement for the purpose of the proceeding. So, notice must be given to the chief magistrate designated by the chief justice or the resident judge that, someone has been withdrawn from this matter.
The resident judge is a judge that is already in that particular place.
Yeah, resident judge is the person that is in that place, the judge that is in that area where the matter is taking place.
Okay.
At the court.
Yes.
So,
okay.
Where the proceedings are heard by the tribunal may have regard to any record of the proceedings before the tribunal as previously constituted, including a record of any evidence taken in those proceedings. So where the proceedings are heard by the tribunal may have regard to any record of the proceedings before the tribunal as previously constituted, including a record of any evidence taken in those proceedings. They keep, like the way we usually say, I have a file in court. So they keep the records and the files in court.
We are going in for a short commercial break and we shall be back.
Witness Radio, uniting local voices in land and environmental justice struggle. Do you have any information in regards to land grabbing? Or you're aware of any person who has been evicted and their property destroyed because of land disputes? Report to Witness Radio through our numbers 0414-697-221 or WhatsApp 0745-965-765, or you can report directly to our website on www.witnessradio.org.
Just click on the map, follow the direction, click on the map indicating the individuals and the land being grabbed. Click on that word, report evictions. Then report any victim of land evictions. Thereafter, search for your area of residence on that map. Click your area of residence, then a red dot will indicate. Click the red dot and fill in the form, then save your input. Don't forget to attach the picture of the grabbed land in question, then upload to send.
Happy that you're still tuned to Witness Radio. I welcome you back from that short commercial break. We are still continuing with the land tribunal procedure rules.
I will be discussing now, the next thing we're going to be discussing is section 6 of the land tribunal procedure rules, where it provides for commencement of proceedings. It says a dispute in land shall be commenced by filing a statement of claim, either orally or in writing, at the tribunal.
Sorry to cut you short. What are we doing with the commencement of proceedings? What is it doing?
Commencement of proceedings is like how you try to initiate to file a case.
How you start, how you begin.
Yeah,
to
how you you start to file a case, or how you the case is heard.
Okay.
How the case is heard at the tribunal.
Okay.
Yes. So, a dispute in land shall be commenced by filing a statement of claim, either orally or in writing at the tribunal, to determine the following: determination of any dispute relating to a land transaction, transfer, acquisition, reposition, lease or agreement. They can also look at determination of the amount of compensation of value of the land. They also look at cancellation of any entry on the certificate of title, occupancy or customary ownership, or cancellation of title or certificate of customary ownership or occupancy in a case handled by a lower land tribunal. They can also review decisions of the commission, board, committee, district land office, recorder or commissioner. They provide consent to obtain a certificate of occupancy or to carry out any dealing or transaction in the land where the owner has either unreasonably refused to give consent or the owner cannot be found. They also give consent to allow a spouse to carry out any dealing or transaction in land where wife or husband has unreasonably refused to give consent, or adult children or the committee have unreasonably refused to give consent, or any other matter or dispute relating to land, so they can give consent. But why would, I mean, if I wake up in the morning and my husband is trying to sell our land, okay, like they say, probably could be having reasonable grounds. Okay, selling our land, where our house is seated, where I stay with my children, and I refuse. I must be having reasons why, even if my husband is extremely poor. I mean, they feel like he's like, I need to get money. You get?
Mm.
I need to get money and probably invest in a business, start working. I mean, I cannot agree to you selling where I will sleep for you to start up a business. And it is so sad that you may find the person that is proceeding being a man, and he understands at a man's point of view. But I mean, this is something we shouldn't even be arguing about. I've said no. I must be having reasons as a woman why I've said no.
Okay. So if the woman doesn't consent to it, meaning there are no proceedings.
Matrimonial property, don't touch. We both must agree, even if we are mortgaging, we must agree.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so I don't know when they say when wife or husband has unreasonably refused to give consent. I have refused. I cannot be unreasonable when I say he's not selling. You get?
Yeah.
Yes. On what grounds are you going to say no? I mean, he has a point to sell the house and the land. I don't know. So, it also has an opportunity where an application has been made orally, it shall be reduced into writing by the secretary. So there are people who don't know how to write. I think this really benefits them. You go and you tell them, you know, I have such and such a problem, or you want an application to probably, you have things concerning lease and what, things like that. So if the secretary can help you put it down in writing, that means it also benefits the illiterate who cannot read and write.
Okay, yeah.
So the application shall state as clearly as possible the grounds for the claim and the remedy being sought. Yeah, if really they can put it down, if it really works, because that means any idiot can go to the land tribunal and say, you know what, Rita wants to take my land because of this and this and this, and this is what I want. And then the secretary puts it, because I think one of the reasons as to why people in the villages are being evicted of their land is because they are illiterate. They don't know. Now, I think to them, they're like, okay, when I go, how will I start? I don't know. I can't write. I can't read. How am I going to start? But if you can go and say it orally and then you put it in writing, that is really good.
Okay.
It's really good, I think.
Yeah, that was so thoughtful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The claim shall be in 6 copies. Any other document required to be filed in support of a claim shall be lodged with a secretary in accordance to Section 75 of this same Act of the Regulation, the Land Tribunal Regulations. The tribunal shall record the parties, an opportunity, shall accord the parties. It shall give the parties an opportunity to amicably settle the claim before the hearing commences. So when they say give them time to amicably settle the claim before the hearing commences, this is more of like they give them time for mediation.
Mm. Negotiation.
Yeah. Mm. Sit down and talk before the proceedings move on. Applications by minor or persons of unsound mind under Section 7 of the same Act of the Land Tribunal Regulations. Section 7 provides for applications by minor or persons of unsound mind. And it says every application or claim by a minor or a person of unsound mind or any person suffering from any disability shall be instituted in his or her name by the next of kin or next of friend. So if let's say for cases of rape, but now here they only handle land issues. So now we are talking about the father has died and left a kid that is young.
And then
the relatives want to sell the land.
Mm.
So the next of kin can be like, no, my husband has a will and left this land for my son.
Mm, mm, mm.
Yes, so that's how it happens.
So minors are not allowed to apply.
At what age should
someone start applying?
When they talk about maturity in Uganda, you must be 18 and above.
Mm.
Below that, you're a minor.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
However, if you are taking testimonies, if they find you reasonable, like you reason, like you understand,
yes,
they can try to ask certain things from you. You get, because you can find a child of 13, 14 understanding,
and can give
testimonies to certain,
and they have a mature mind.
Yes. Okay. So sometimes the judge or magistrate can look into that and say, okay, let me hear from this kid.
Okay.
Application for consent by a tenant, by occupants under Section 3. Here we are looking at Section 8 of the Land Tribunal Regulations, which provides for application for consent by a tenant by occupants under Section 33. Here it says where the registered owner refuses to grant consent to a tenant by occupancy to acquire a certificate of occupancy or transaction, or failed within 60 days to make any decision, or grants consent subject to conditions which the tenant may, by occupancy objects to, the tenant may apply to the land tribunal for consent. So this says, if the tenant fails to agree with the landlord over certain grounds, over certain land issues, probably wants a certificate and the landlord is not willing to give it out, and the landlord exceeds, probably he makes an application, he proposes that, you know, I need a certificate of occupancy, and you know there is a time limit for responding back to the proposal that is made by the tenant, which is 60 days, and if the landlord fails to actually agree or give any response to that effect, or refuses to actually grant the right for the tenant to have that certificate of occupancy.
Yeah.
So the tenant may apply to the land tribunal for consent. So the application under this rule, there is a form that is in these regulations, and the same application form you may find at the land tribunal. You fill in and then, yes. you make an application so that the case is heard and either you're granted consent or the tribunal decides to agree with your landlord for certain grounds. So where consent to deal or transact in family land required under this act is withheld, the aggrieved person may also apply to the land tribunal for consent. Yes, because you may want to sell your land and then the family members say no for no reason.
When it belongs to you.
Yes, when it belongs to you. But because you know family land is family land.
Yes.
Like
yes.
Usually you're together, you know.
Yeah, but when you want together, to sell your part,
your
piece of the land. Okay.
Yeah. And this happens where, you know, graveyards?
Yes.
Like women are usually given those graveyards. But you know, usually there is a big portion that is left that does not have graveyards on it. You get?
Mm.
So now, this kid that has been assigned that piece of land can want to sell for that small portion and maybe do something out of it. And then the family is like, no. You get?
Yeah, this is the family land. Yeah,
it's not like she or he is selling the whole of it, just a piece of it, and then you'll have even another space to keep burying people.
Mm.
They say, no, you see, you cannot do that. This is where we bury our people, and they refuse, which is unfair.
Yeah.
So if that happens, you can apply to the land tribunal, and they give you consent.
Okay.
The application under this rule is also, there is a form that you fill in when you go to the tribunal, you know, so that they can look into your matter. So Section 10 also provides for application by registered owner or his or her agent for termination of tenancy. So it says a registered owner or his or her agent may apply to the tribunal for a declaration of tenancy for non-payment of ground rent. Remember, you can only be evicted. A tenant, bona fide bibanja holders, can only be evicted of the land for non-payment of ground rent. So if the registered owner wants to evict you on that ground, they can apply to the land tribunal and you're evicted of the what? Of the land.
Okay.
So the application, there is also another, like if you need to apply, there is a form that you also find at the tribunal, you get, that you fill in, and then your case is what? Your case is actually heard.
Okay.
Yes.
So when the actual owner goes to the land tribunal and says, I want this person out of my land,
yes,
and you don't agree with it, and the tenant doesn't agree with
the thing is, you can only be evicted of that land if you've not been paying ground rent for something like a year plus or 2 years plus.
Okay.
So if you have not been paying ground rent and there are no initiatives that you've shown to actually pay or reduce the debt, there is nothing you can tell the landowner.
Okay.
Because the law is very clear. The only reason you can be evicted is that. Yes.
All right.
So, any other matter not specifically provided for under these rules, a person wishing to commence proceedings before a tribunal shall file an application or claim. But this is specifically, it must be a land matter. Don't bring rape. Eh? We're talking about land. We look at the fees. Any claim or application made under this rule shall be accompanied by the appropriate fee set out in there. So there is a fee that is set out and that you pay, you know, as you're trying to lodge your complaint. Section 13 provides for right to representation and taxation of costs. It says that any party to any proceedings before a tribunal has a right of representation at his or her expense. You can get a lawyer to represent you. You get? Yes, if you don't feel like you cannot represent yourself. And where a party to a claim or proceeding is represented by an advocate, the scale of costs applicable to the High Court and the Magistrates' Courts for instructions to prosecute or defend a claim or an application before a tribunal shall be those prescribed in the advocate's enumeration and taxation of cost rules in force at the time. So whatever costs that shall be judged, they must be as prescribed under the enumeration and taxation of cost rules that all advocates adhere to. The cost shall be taxed by the chairperson or any member or secretary of the tribunal. So section 14 provides for where proceedings are to be commenced, where they say a claim or application shall be made to the tribunal where the land is located. You get, like, remember these tribunals at district level. So if I'm in Wakiso, my case will not be heard in Jinja. You get?
Oh, yes.
It must be in Wakiso. The land tribunal of Wakiso is supposed to handle my matter because this is where the land is.
Is.
So if I have land in Jinja, I cannot say that the land, and I stay in Wakiso, but the land that has disputes on it is in Jinja, I cannot say that the land tribunal that is in Wakiso should be the one to handle, because I stay in Wakiso.
No? Oh, yes.
Where the land that has disputes is where you go, and then the matters are sorted there.
Okay.
Yes. So, where the land is located is more than one district, the claim or application will be filed in any of the tribunals where the land is located. Duties of the secretary on receipt of claim or application. What does the secretary do? When you take your claim, the secretary will stamp, date, and sign any copy that you give in. And then retain four copies for use by the tribunal. And then return the other copy to the claimant or applicant as your own copy. Then service on respondents. Where a claim or an application or an appeal has been duly commenced, the applicant shall be responsible for ensuring that a copy of the claim or the application or memorandum of appeal duly dated and signed is served on each and every person who is respondent in the proceedings. Let's say if you file a case, if a person files a claim, they make sure you, the claimant, usually, you get those copies, you serve the accused. And we make sure that copy is actually has received, like probably someone's for hearing or you're responding back to something,
Yes.
So you must make sure the other party actually also has the same documents that you have.
Okay.
That is served. Where the claimant or applicant or appealant cannot for justifiable cause effect service of the claim on an intended defendant or respondent, the tribunal shall serve that person at the expense of the claimant or applicant or appeal, as the case may be. So even the tribunal can decide to serve on your behalf, but you must pay them for doing that. Usually they use their clerks to serve. Mode of service, which is provided for under section 17, and says service of process under this the rules.
Counselor Joanne, sorry to cut you short. Yes. We shall definitely start from there when we come back from the break.
Okay.
Oyagala kweyongera kukuguka mu mateeka agakwata ku ttaka? Ganyulwa mu program za Witness Radio osomesebwe batya bw'osobola okukuuma ettaka lyo okuva mu mikono gy'abannakigwanyizi. Oli mulwanirizi wa ddembe, oyagala amaloboozi g'ebitundu oba abantu b'olwanirira gatuuke ku bavunaanyizibwa? Weekwate radio y'abantu, Witness Radio. Wuliriza Witness Radio mu kitundu kyo ng'ekulambululira ensonga ezinyiga abantu. Wulirizanga Witness Radio okumanya enkulaakulana y'ettaka nga tekosa bantu mu bitundu mweteekeddwa oba obutonde bw'ensi.
Hello, welcome back from that short commercial break. We are still continuing. We started from the conduct of business procedures. When we went for the break, we were looking at mode of service. These roles are very many, and so we want to go step by step so that you can understand each step. We want to, for supporting Witness Radio, with a heart full of gratitude, we are very appreciative for whatever effort that you're putting in to listen in to Witness Radio, because it takes a lot of data. You must have a smartphone so that you can listen in to Witness Radio. For each and every effort that you put in, we are really, really very, very grateful. And then we also have a web page that you can report cases of land evictions. We have a land portal, a land eviction portal that you can actually go on our page of Witness Radio and then click on the map. You will follow the procedures accordingly. respectively. For those that can't wait, you can directly call us in case of any land eviction that is happening in your place. You can call us on 041-46-97221, or you can WhatsApp us on 0745-96-5765. Oh, yes. Before I even forget, it is a weekend, and I would like to remind you, Happy Women's Day to all the women out there. Councillor John, you're welcome.
You mean it's Women's Day?
Yes, it is Women's Day.
You mean it's Women's Day?
Yes.
You're dating the wrong people.
Are we?
Yes, I had even forgotten.
That it is Women's Day.
Because my husband is supposed to actually remind me that it's Women's Day.
You know.
What?
You're welcome, Councillor John.
Thank you, sir. We'll be discussing about the mode of service, how they serve documents at the tribunal, and here we'll be looking at section 17 that provides for how they serve at the tribunal. And it says that service or process as per the rules, as per the land tribunal rules, shall be made by delivering to the person named in the process or to the complainant or the defendant. A duplicate of a document of maybe the proceedings or the documents or the claim, and must be signed and stamped by the tribunal to show that it is indeed from the tribunal. And where there is more than one respondent, service shall be made on each respondent. The respondent must have a documents well signed by the tribunal. Where possible, service shall be made on the defendant or respondent in person, unless he or she has an agent who is authorized to accept service or is in charge of the property, in which case service may be made on that agent. Here, let's say, when we talk about agents, there could be a company, you know, when we talk about agents, there could be like lawyers. Your lawyer can actually receive documents on your behalf. That is handling your matter, or there is a company that is actually in charge of your property. Mm. That company can also probably is the one that, in case they file a case against you, is the one that initiates or not initiating, that takes care of such cases on your behalf. Mm. So they cannot now give you in person, but they can give the company. And once they serve the company, they will have served you.
Okay.
And the company will also receive and stamp, yes, I have received these documents. Where the defendant or the respondent cannot be found, service may be made on an adult member of the respondent's family residing with him or her. Let's say if they go at home and they're looking for Joe and they don't see me, they can actually give my husband.
Okay.
You get?
Or an elder person.
Yes, that is there, okay, in a home, yes. So, where the respondent cannot be found and there is no adult member of the respondent's family residing with him or her, the application or notice and memorandum of appeal shall, with the permission of the tribunal, be advertised in any newspaper having wide circulation in that area or on a public notice board or in conspicuous place or any other means as the tribunal may determine. They will put the summon anywhere where they assume that actually here someone can easily see it.
Mm.
Or at least they will believe someone that you know will see it and notify you.
Okay.
Yes. So
those are in cases
you're not found, they don't know your family members, like they have no clue where to get you.
Mm.
And the only option they have is to advertise.
Okay.
So where the defendant or any other person on whom service can be made refuses to accept service or cannot be found by the person serving after reasonable attempt, the server shall fix a copy of the document on the outer door or some other conspicuous part of the house in which the defendant or that person or that other ordinarily resides or carries out business or work. Let's say people know where I live, but each single time they come to serve me, they can't get me, I'm not there. So they'll have to leave it at the doorstep so that maybe when I come back, I see it. Okay. Or they can bring it at work here.
So they bring a notice?
It's a summon.
It's a summon.
It's a document, yeah, to show that you're being someone to attend this kind of court.
Yes, yes.
For certain reason.
Okay.
So Section 18 provides for proof of service. So a person served with documents shall acknowledge receipt by signing on the copy of the notice. So you sign and say, I have received. Where a person served cannot read or write, he or she shall acknowledge receipt by fixing a thumb mark on the document, just like you see on national IDs.
Mm.
Those that cannot sign, you put your thumb.
Your thumb.
Yes. So where the person is not found, the server shall return the original to the tribunal handling the application with an affidavit setting how he or she have fixed the copy, the circumstances under which it was done, and the name and address of the person, if any, by whom the house was identified and the person who witnessed the affixing. So here the meaning, let's imagine, like I said, they want to serve me, they have not seen me, and then they will put it maybe at the gate or somewhere. Mm-hmm. And then they'll tell our neighbors, we have put this court summons here for this person. So the clerk, the court clerk, will go, or whoever serves, will write an affidavit and say, I served Joan in this manner because I tried many times. I could not get them, this and this and this.
Mm.
But I put the documents around this place.
Mm.
Yes, and so they will attach that on your file.
Okay.
Yeah. So, time of submission of written statements of defense. The defendant may make an oral or written statement, either admitting or denying the allegations or claims, within 21 days from the date of being served with the summons. So, this means that you can do when you're submitting written statements, if you're defending yourself, so the written statements of defense must be written, or you must be served within 21 days from the date of being served with the summons. So you must respond back within 21 days after being summoned that you have been accused of this claim. Well, so for it, you have to write a written statement of defense claiming either you agree or you say, I'm not guilty.
Okay.
You say, I'm innocent either I'm guilty because of certain reasons, which reasons will be stated in the statement of what? Defense.
Mm-hmm.
But that must be within
21 days.
Within 21 days after being served with the summons. Where a defendant makes an oral statement of defense, the secretary shall reduce it in writing.
Mm.
So the tribunal may accept late filing of a written statement of defense if the defendant shows that there were reasonable grounds for the delay. Maybe I got an accident and I fell unconscious, I could not do it.
Mm.
I was in the hospital. So the written statement of defense shall be served on the claimant or applicant within 14 days after filing it. So after filing it, the complainant also gets your written statement of defense so that he can also find a way of how to respond back. So we shall look at under Section 20 that provides for notice of hearing. So upon receipt of a claim and written statement of defense, the tribunal shall fix a hearing date and notify the parties that, you know, your matter will be heard on such and such a day. The notice of hearing shall is also in this regulation. There is that form that shows how a notice of hearing looks like in the Land Tribunal regulations. Section 21 provides for hearing to be in the open. So proceedings before the tribunal shall be open to the public. So they are open to the public.
Yeah, anyone that wants to go and listen
can
to
listen.
That. Okay.
So the tribunal may conduct proceedings in camera in special circumstances. No appearance of a claimant. So if on the day fixed for the hearing of a claim, the defendant appears and the claimant does not appear, the tribunal shall, if satisfied at the summons or hearing notice has been duly served upon the claimant, ask the defendant whether he or she admits the claim, or if the defendant, you'll ask, do you agree that are you innocent or guilty? And if the claimant admits the claim or any part of the claim, the tribunal may give judgment against him or her for the claim or such part of the claim as he or she admits, or if does not admit the claim, the tribunal may dismiss the claim. Here they're trying to mean, if I'm the claimant, I go and file a case, I lodge a complaint against you.
Yes.
And on that day I do not appear.
Yes.
If you agree, they do judgment ex parte, like I'm not there, but the court can go ahead and make a judgment.
And then they ask me whether I'm guilty or not.
Yes. So if you agree, they punish you. the judgment, maybe with a fine or something, or imprisonment if you agree to the crime.
Mm.
If you don't agree, if they claim that I'm not there, they dismiss the matter. Why are you not there?
Mm.
Unless you have reasonable grounds for not being there. Mm. Yeah. And you have to notify court that I will not be able to appear because of this and this. Yes.
Okay.
So, non-appearance of defendants. If on a date fixed for hearing, the claimant appears, but the defendant does not appear, the tribunal may, if satisfied with the summons or hearing notice, not find the defendant of the time and the place for the hearing has been duly served upon him or her, proceeds to hear the evidence of the claimant and his or her witnesses, if any, and if satisfied that the claimant has established his or her claim in whole or in part, shall give judgment for the claimant accordingly. So even if the defendant is also not there, still the tribunal can still go ahead and give what?
A judgment.
As accorded.
Mm. Are there fines?
Yes. They can give you a fine, they can give imprisonment, anything.
Okay. The magistrate
mm-hmm. or whoever is proceeding the matter on the can decide to actually give a judgment.
Okay.
And that judge, the repercussions of the judgment could be, or the punishments that may come with it could be giving you a fine or imprisoning you.
So they just make a straight away judgment.
Yes.
Okay.
Without you. That's why I said it becomes judgment ex parte. No, one of the parties is not there. You get?
Yes.
Yes. So, non-appearance of both parties. If one of the day fixed for hearing, neither party appears, the tribunal may dismiss the claim. Like you cannot institute a case and both of you are not there. You get?
Mm.
So, the tribunal dismisses the claim. So, where a claim is dismissed, the tribunal may reinstate the claim if the claimant shows sufficient cause for his or her non-appearance. So, if the date is fixed and you do not appear, and also the defendant does not appear, but then later on you come and tell them, on that day I was knocked down by a car, I was in the hospital, they can reinstate the matter and they listen to the case once again. Yes. So there is what section 25 provides for setting aside judgment given in the absence of the party. So a party against whom judgment has been given under may make an application to the tribunal to set aside a judgment, except the tribunal shall not set aside any judgment unless it is satisfied that the party has given sufficient cause for his or her non-appearance. So even a defendant or the claimant, the defendant can come and say, yes, I know the judgment, but for justifiable reasons I was not there.
Mm,
so now the judgment will be set aside. You get?
Yes.
That was made on that day. Or the claimant will be set aside because I was not there because of this and this, and I cannot go with this judgment.
So they reconsider.
Yes. So the matter is heard.
Mm, okay.
So, procedure at hearing. So unless the tribunal otherwise orders, the evidence of the claimant or the applicant shall first be heard, followed by that of the witness, if any. So they will hear the evidence of the claimant, the person that gave the complaint. You get?
Mm.
And then after that, then witnesses will come to attestate to that evidence. Attestating is to say, yes, I was there actually when that one, I am aware that that land belongs to Rita. And then I saw that man also, he just bought that land recently. And now Rita's land used to go that mile. And now that one is just encroaching on this one's what?
Land.
Yes.
Witnesses so, that confirm
the evidence that
they emphasize
the evidence that the claimant has. They did not come up with their own evidence, so they are there to prove the matter. So at the close of the evidence of the claimant or the applicant and that of each of the witnesses, the defendant or respondent shall be given the opportunity to question the claimant or the applicant and each of his or her witnesses. So the defendant also comes in to question them. Okay, you say I bought the land on this day. Why does my title say this? You get? Where was he when I was actually buying the land and I was fencing? Why is he bringing it up now?
Mm.
I fenced it 2 weeks back. Why didn't he tell me when I was fencing it? You get?
Yes.
Yes. So So at the close of evidence of the claimant or applicant and his witnesses, the evidence of the defendant or respondent followed by that of his witnesses, if any, shall be heard. So and the claimant or the applicant shall be given the opportunity to question the defendant or respondent of each of the witnesses. So after the claimant bringing the witnesses, the defendant side questions them.
Yes.
So when that is done for the claimant side, it goes to the defendant. They also present their evidence and the witnesses, and they are also questioned. So the tribunal may at any time put questions or to either party or to any witness, and may in its discretion call any additional evidence it considers necessary. So as they are presenting their case, the tribunal asks, or whoever is proceeding asks questions, you're saying this, what is this, where is this? Or you make a statement and says, please bring evidence to that effect. You get?
Yes.
So language of the tribunal. The language to be used in the tribunal during proceedings shall be English, except that interpretation of the proceedings shall be provided where necessary. So English is the official language. But you find that people who are, especially with land tribunals, people are illiterate. Mm. So there will always be an interpreter to interpret the Runyankore, the Rusoga, the Nyarakitara, the Ruteso, for people that don't understand what?
English.
So, vist to the land in dispute. The tribunal may vist the land in dispute either on application of the party or on its motion. So you can... They can also decide to go to the ground and find out what's on the scene so that they can get a picture
of what is being talked about.
Yes.
In court.
So where the tribunal visits and inspects the land which is subject to the claim, it may allow the parties or any other person claiming an interest in the land to point out features of the land and make other points about the land and their interest in the land, or may allow the parties to call relevant witnesses to support their claims, or shall take down the evidence and their observations in writing, and evidence and observations shall form part of the tribunal record. When they are making decisions, they will look into it as evidence. So burden and standard of proof. The applicant or claimant has the burden of establishing his or her case, except that where any party asserts any fact or claim, he or she shall prove that fact or claim. So if you are the claimant, you must prove. Your case must be having, you must prove the cause of action. So you must fight as much as you can to show that there is actually a case. You get?
Yes. Having concrete evidence.
Yes.
Okay.
So any issue before a tribunal shall be proved on the balance of probabilities. The reason why they say that is they are not sure who is right, who is wrong. Yes. So we shall stop there. And then in our next session, shall have to proceed with how matters are handled at the land tribunal. So we want to do this step by step so that you can get it very well. That's why we are giving to you hint by hint, small, because I understand most people, this is actually where they take their complaints more than, because they are accessible.
Yes, easy to access.
Yes, so thank you.
Thank you so much, Counsel Joan. We are very delighted and so grateful for your great presentation today. But I would like to also remind you that this program runs from Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. That is for the English program. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. That is for the Luganda version. I'd like to wish you a very nice weekend and have a blissful weekend, especially for the women in Uganda. Happy Women's Day and have a great time. Bye-bye.